Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of season 5 of Press X to Start. We here at Press X to Start podcast seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved, and protected point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented. I can't read today. That's what's happening.
Did I put that in there?
No, you said restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. That's true.
Yeah.
But I just can't read today. So, you know.
Are we letting the white folks know that we are educated with all these syllables?
We're trying.
It's time we make a stand and show them we will no longer pick up their trash.
I got infected by the DJ disease. Anyways. So, yeah. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from a wish nigga wood, California, aka the janitor because of be washing niggas, aka LL Cool J.
Jesus, like after all that.
Marcus Ellison.
As he licks his lips. I am Sean MF Ross.
What MF stand for?
I have nothing this week. I don't know. I was unprepared.
Admittedly, you haven't had like a proper MF for a while now.
I'll come correct next week, folks.
I bet.
I am DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know
What
the opposite of assassin is Dick Dick Out?
No.
So juvenile. So childish.
Please be normal.
You have a child coming on your way, so they're going to inherit your behavior. So I pray for them.
Dumbassery.
I can't wait for the Dick Dick Out franchise.
Dick Dick Out Creed? Are you going to play as Harambe?
Harambe.
Real quick, does anybody remember Ultimate Muscle?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. There's that Dick one Dick character. Yeah.
Yes, Dick Dick. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, continue.
And it's your boy Jordan, aka former Jordan of Raventhorpe, aka JXBot. Back at it again.
Hey, and now that we are all introduced, we are going to go into what we've been playing. So Jordan, what you been playing?
I finished off Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I killed all like the Secret Society people in the main story, and now I'm just kind of running around finding legendary items like Thor's hammer and Excalibur and stuff like that. But yeah, after all that, I think at the end I put 115 hours into it.
Wow.
Way less than, I mean, like, it's kind of hard for me to determine how much longer this was compared to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Because Assassin's Creed Odyssey was 200 hours because I played the DLCs. But like in terms of the ending point of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I think the ending point of Odyssey was about an hour 20, so maybe about 5 hours longer. But I didn't feel as such because each one of the extra content was pretty unique. And, you know, in the end, I gave the game a 9 out of 10. Like, it was very, very good. I'm also playing Yakuza 0. Still hilarious, still super Japanese Sega game, you know, just very different. But you know what? The story is good, though. The story is very, very engaging. And I'm going to move on to the next Yakuzas because on Game Pass, they're going to essentially have Yakuza 0 through 5 available for download at the end of this month. So I'm like turning into a little Yakuza weebo for the most part. And like slowly.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
On Game Pass,
yes,
because I know they take things off of there from time to time. Like, if they remove it, but you have it downloaded, does it stay on your console as long as you have it on there? Or, like, once you have downloaded it, can you go re-download it, even though it's off of the list, per se?
Well, they're pretty clear about what's a Game Pass game, what's not a Game Pass game, depending on your, like, level of subscription. But if a Game Pass game is removed, like, you'd have to buy it, you know, you have to purchase it. But you do have a discount during your ownership of the game. So if you do see it being quote unquote taken off the service, you can purchase it for a discounted price. But
have you ever done that?
No, I mean like there hasn't been any games that I've gotten removed that I was super anxious about so far. There's some games that I'm surprised have stayed on there. like Ace Combat 7's been on there. Even though I bought Ace Combat 7, there's quite a bit of Capcom games that have just stayed there. But when I do run into that title, like Control, like if Control were to, you know, be taken off, and I wanted to finish it, I would see if that's the case. But I haven't run into that type of game yet. But I am going to be cognizant of it and let you guys know. After Yakuza, I've played Control. That was added to Game Pass this month.
Nice, nice. What'd you think?
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of Alan Wake when that was on the Xbox consoles. I did not like Quantum Leap or Quantum Dream.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Quantum something. That game made by Remedy, published by Microsoft Studios, was not a fun game when I played it. But I heard good things about Control. I played Control and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It reminds me of Alan Wake and how much enjoyment I had. Even though Alan Wake was a very different game, it still has some of the same third-person mechanics. It wasn't too floaty, but very quick.
And, I mean, they're in the same universe, so...
Yes, yeah. I'm very excited about playing the DLCs. I don't think the DLCs came with the Game Pass, and I think you had to purchase it separately. But, I mean, fucking big-ass cliffhanger and Alan Wake, you know, they're like... No one really wanted the end of the game, and he was kind of stuck, you know. I'm very interested to see him and how he's conditioning his beard, you know.
He might have a pandemic beard.
No, that's what I've been playing.
Cool, cool. Okay. How about you, Sean? What you been playing?
I don't want to say struggling through Assassin's Creed, but shit. I'm at roughly about hour 91, 92, and... I'm just kind of...
You just want the pain to end?
It's not painful, but it's just like...
Yeah.
Did we need this much?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm all for giving you value for your dollar. And I'd say I got my value out of this, considering I'm playing it for free.
Is that what you say on your OnlyFans page, Sean?
Oh, no, I give them far more value.
Hey! His dick's name is Value.
Wait, are you saying that you're? Are you saying the game is not meeting the value of the purchase?
I'm just starting to lose slight interest. I'm at roughly power level 330 something now. I think I'm past like 333.
So you're not over 9,000 yet.
Soon.
for reference, the max power level is 400.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're close.
I think I have maybe like one. I have not gone back to Norway though. Can you conquer shit in Norway too?
Yeah. I mean, you go to the map, you select the atlas, and you go. You can go back to Norway. Know.
I just haven't bothered to go back there at all yet.
Shut up, Jordan.
I never heard this dude out saying like, "Oh, I'm all depressed about my experience." I'm like, "Shut up. You're not. Kill everything. That's what you have to do. Just kill everything. You're a Vikinger."
I mean, Sean, I can understand why you are. Probably losing a bit of interest at this point, but that's because, I mean, 90 hours into most games, even if you're enjoying it for the most part up till that point, it starts to drag.
It becomes a slog.
Yeah, if it's not a multiplayer game, most single player games start to drag at that point, and it's just like, ugh, I just want to... Like, every time you go to ally with a kingdom, and I don't remember how many they have, but it's a good, I want to say... 10 roughly, or you know, give or take, quests that you have to do to ally with the kingdom, and there are over 10 kingdoms to ally with, and I haven't even touched Norway yet. So it's just like, ugh. Thank God. Well,
there aren't any kingdoms in Norway you're free to conquer. You go back there for other main story stuff. I'm not gonna spoil it, but
okay,
don't worry about Norway.
But thankfully, the way that I play the game. Because early on, I was lost as to what the fuck I was supposed to do. Because I didn't realize you're supposed to go back to the home base to choose who you're going to ally with. So I just went around sinking every goddamn point. So at this point, you know, I go pledge to go ally with the place. And I just go fast travel there.
Yeah.
That's great. I already did it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes if it wasn't for that, I'd be so upset. Like I said, I don't even bother killing people anymore. I just run past them unless I need to. Like, story-wise, they just say, kill these amount of people.
Like, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
You there. Do you know what day it is? It's the day of your death. But, I mean, otherwise, I'm really just trying to finish this so I can move on to other games. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just dragging at this point. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the same feeling, Sean, at hour 90. I just stopped, like, doing mysteries and well stuff. I'm like, all right, let's get this shit over with. Mm. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. That's all I'm playing right now. I'm just trying to get through it. So, who can relate? Who's next?
What about you, DJ? What you been playing?
So, I have been playing Greedfall. I believe last podcast, Marcus, you were the one that said you're going to start playing Greedfall. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what?
I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, pirates, right? There were pirates and guns and swords.
I wouldn't say it's pirates.
And hats.
It's more so like a monarchy kind of like king and queen kind of setting and style.
With silly hats.
With silly hats, yes. And hats are very important because they up your chance for increased looting. So that's the thing.
I see a pirate here on this image, DJ.
You're racist, Jordan.
A big old pirate. This is a pirate game.
So, playing this game is very interesting. By no means is it a spectacular game. It doesn't look spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't, frankly, play spectacularly either. The combat system is a little... Okay, let me rewind. Greedfall is a role-playing stat-based RPG where you play as the main character. It's like two names, and I can't remember either of them, so I'm just going to skip it. You play as main
Royal character. Name 1, Royal Name 2.
Leviticus.
You play as this character, and your home has been... hit with this plague that is wiping everyone out. It makes your mom look like a fucking Resident Evil zombie, and it freaked me all the way the fuck out when her face first appeared on screen, and then the main character kisses the thing's face, and I'm like,
the
thing? Why? Why was that? So, you go to this island. This island's supposed to have the magical cure, and then you begin the RPG world. What this game has is BioWare level interactions and choices with people, and it's presented very, very quickly in the game, like, hey, you make these choices, you're basically rolling your stats as you're making choices, like, you have a charisma stat or whatever, and depending on that, you can either... you know, like, kind of talk up some things and get things your way.
You have to say yar or ar, ar, yar.
As I said, it's not a pirate game.
I just see that. I'm just saying, on the video game, on the app image, I see a big-ass pirate with pirate hat and pirate shoes. It's a pirate game.
It's a pirate shoes. Anyways, so the combat, it's presented as a... real-time, like, hack-and-slash kind of combat system where you have access to magic, you have access to guns, and you have, like, melee weapons, as Jordan says, swords and stuff as you're swashbuckling because you're apparently a pirate in this game. What I found out playing, I put maybe about 13 or so hours into the game so far. This game... it's presented as a hack and slash, but the system that you should be relying on is the stop combat, like, make your choices system that's very similar to Final Fantasy VII Remake. Mm-hmm. And once I realized, like, the strength of that system and how it actually works, I found myself enjoying gameplay far more. So I understand, and I have to give the caveat that this game is merely my breakup with Cyberpunk 2077 game.
I was about to say, do you like this better than Cyberpunk?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I like the dialogue choices a lot better. I think I have more investment with the characters in this game than I did with Cyberpunk. Like, one example was I was doing this mission and this guy was like selling like a fake cure for the plague or whatever. And you confront him on this. You try to get him to drink his own cure. He's like, no, I'm not gonna drink it or whatever, because I don't need it. Like, I've been taking it daily, so I'm fine. You're not gonna see mm-hmm. anything. And you kind of have this banter back and forth with this guy, and eventually
you shove it in his mouth.
Eventually you're just like, well, whatever, this is obviously a fake or whatever. So he ends up leaving his stall or whatever, so you go find him and you confront him in his house or in his room. He's like packing up about to leave or whatever, and you have a choice to either arrest him or let him escape. And you find out during that talk in the room that, like, he was actually like a top scientist in his day, and he was basically cast out by the guy that sent you to arrest him in the beginning. And it's like, mind you, this is like a 10-15 minute story, and like, I had to stop and be like, so do I let this guy go or do I arrest him? And I found myself like kind of really thinking about it versus just seeing this as a game and like, how much money am I going to get from this? How much experience am I going to get from this? So I ended up letting him go. I let him go.
You sound like CD Projekt Red, but go ahead.
All right. I ended up letting him go. And then I went back to the guy that hired me, and I had an option of telling him the truth in terms of, I found out about this guy and this guy told me about you and fuck you. Or I could have lied to him and be like, yeah, you know, he was slippery and he got away. So I ended up lying to the guy, and the guy was like, well, you know, you did what you could. And he ended up giving me an award too. So I was just like, interesting. And I...
Finesse.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I felt like that kind of thing happened maybe... from my experience playing Cyberpunk, maybe like a handful of times where it was choices that resulted in various outcomes like that. Whereas in mm-hmm. this game, I'm 13 hours in, and there's been numerous situations where I've had to kind of stop and think about my choice.
Right.
And I really, really like this game for that. The only reason why I'm not putting this game, like, I'm not recommending this game for anyone is the combat system is rough as fucking sandpaper. Like, there was points where I'm just like, take a deep breath. You're going to get through this. So it's a game that I plan on playing now, but I'm also playing it because there's not really any other game on my docket other than Gundam, of course, because Gundam is love. So yeah, I'm enjoying this game. I'm enjoying the story part, and I'm trying to get to grips and really, really figure out the actual flow of the combat. So that's where I'm at.
So essentially, if this game had a Gundam skin, it'd be a 10 out of 10.
Bro, if this game had a Gundam skin, I'll be giving it my child.
All right, there you go. You heard it here first.
Jesus.
You heard it here.
No, I wouldn't do that because I'm a great father.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that yet because you're not a father yet.
Mm-hmm. This is mine.
Sean's a great father.
Why, thank you.
But, all right, and to wrap it up, I also played Greedfall, and I
barely
had the exact opposite experience as DJ. let me walk you through my train of thought. Okay, so I download it. I'm like, I heard good things about this game from Cam.
Reputable people.
Cameron.
I heard that it is a better Technomancer. Like I've said before, it doesn't say much, but I'll give it a shot. I booted up that game, and the first thing I thought was, oh dear God, this game is ugly as hell. And
yo, the first guy that comes through that door, the space he had between his eyes, like,
nigga looked like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yo. Oh God, no.
So I was like, all right, you know, I'm not gonna ride this game off just because it's ugly, because we here at Press X, we don't play graphics, we play games.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I went a little further, and I got to that first tutorial fight, and I was like, never mind. Because I was like, this is cheeks. And I stopped playing for a bit. And then I decided to give it another shot because, you know, DJ was saying he's enjoying it. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a little more time. So I play
DJ
a little.
DJ also enjoys Gundam.
This is true, but you know, I wanted to I wanted to give it a shot, especially because it's free 99. All right, so like, how mad can I get at this game? So I'm playing some more, and just I can see the potential, but I'm just not drawn to this game at all. I have nothing. There's nothing about it that makes me want to play it more, and I think it's even worse because I feel like I already played a better, more engaging version of this game with Dragon Age Inquisition. So,
but Marcus, how long ago was that?
Not that long ago, actually, because Dragon Age Inquisition was available on PlayStation Plus, I think, like two years ago. And I re-downloaded that game and I played it some more.
Who does that? Why? Oh my god.
2 years ago though, I played it again.
So, you know, I was just like, yeah, this isn't doing it for me. So I deleted that joint off my console this morning.
You know what you could have done with $3? You could have bought yourself a 20-ounce Sprite. You could have bought yourself an 8-ounce pack of Cheez-Its and a mini Snickers. Jesus.
You could have $3.
$3.
I ain't paying no $3 for nothing. I paid $3.99.
Oh, $3.99. That could have been personal pieces of Papa John's.
No, free 99.
Yeah. $3.94? Yeah,
you free know. Free 99. No. I can shake up some water and eat some cheese and be good.
So outside of that, I've just been playing more Overwatch because that's my Gundam.
Mecca.
And outside of that, played Among Us for the first time yesterday.
Were you the imposter?
I actually was I was only the imposter once, and it wasn't like the official imposter because we were playing hide and seek.
Oh, okay.
And so everybody knew I was the killer, so I was just running around trying to kill people. But
they didn't call an emergency, or was this on purpose?
No, yeah, hide and seek, basically, you have to let people know you're the killer, and so you give them a head start, you sabotage comms, and then you just run after them trying to kill them while they're trying to complete their tasks.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of playing.
But outside of that, most of the time we were just playing regular Among Us, and that game is hilarious. I mean, I've been known this because, you know, I've seen people play it, and I've heard you guys talk about it, but hilarious, I just hadn't played it for myself yet. No, see, DJ's mad because
I done saw a person by event. I call an emergency meeting. I'm like, hey, I saw this person by the event. Everyone's like, well, he's obviously the killer. I'm like, what?
Yeah. DJ, you're bad.
Yeah, the person you saw by the vent is you, DJ. Get him out of here.
Yeah, DJ's easy pickings. It's easy to frame him. Like, DJ was doing hopscotch in the southeastern portion of the map. Some shit like that.
What cracked me up, though, is the first game we played that night. And we played, I think, maybe around maybe like 7 or 8 games, if that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first game we played that night, DJ got voted out immediately, and he was the killer. Like, with the quickness.
Real talk, I pulled Deshaun because I self-reported.
What does that mean?
I killed someone, and I self-reported.
I never self-reported.
Yeah, you did. The first time you played, you killed someone.
Oh, okay, wait, okay.
Yeah. You call the emergency meeting, and, like, I tried to pull that. And then instantly, I was like, I made a mistake.
Didn't have a plan B, didn't you?
Nope.
We got that man out of here. And then, I'm not going to lie to you, for a good portion of the rest of the night, I was just targeting DJ.
Yeah, he was.
DJ's like, oh, what do you mean who did it? I just want to report that I saw a body. I mean, I was near it, though, but don't worry about it.
Yo, we would skip vote, and then you know how it shows who voted for who. And for some reason, someone would just vote for me. I'm like, who the fuck?
You're going to die next.
I'm coming for you, nigga.
Okay, Booker T.
And two other moments that were pretty funny. One, our friend Jovi and Avery. Avery tried to suss out Jovi, and Jovi hit him with a cross counter that was so lethal that Avery just could not come back from it. And he got voted out immediately. Like, it was so strong. Like,
<Yo. laughs>
like, this man hit a reverse Uno card. It was amazing.
I'm mad y'all was playing without me, damn it.
I know, right? What the fuck's going on?
We get to do it again.
Yeah, we're doing it again. We're definitely doing it again. Bring us out. And then the other time
stay over there.
Is a friend of ours, Marjorie, and I was tailing her, and then I caught her. No. I was tailing her, and then I caught our friend Marilyn, like, murder her with extreme prejudice. And I could tell that she saw me see her, so she panic ran out of the area. And I reported that, Joe, and I was like, nah, you ain't getting away from this. And then her response was, I mean...
I will say that there was one time where I was the murderer or the imposter, and I feel like personally I played that so well where I was sabotaging stuff and then I would go with the crowd and fix the stuff that I sabotaged.
Smart tactic.
And like all the while I was just like picking people off one by one.
No, I think that was the game that you won.
Yeah, actually. That was the game that I won. Yeah.
No, that was smart. That was some smart gameplay right there.
Thank you.
I'll give you that one. It was you coming back from your
utter devastation,
your initial failed run. But yeah, Among Us is great. Mm-hmm. And I definitely look forward to playing that again. But outside of that, that's what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors. I don't know. Y'all got anything?
Ramen noodles.
Hmm. Ramen noodles? All right, cool. Ramen noodles. Sponsor us, nigga. Mm.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, at Instagram at PressX2Start, and Twitter, PressX2S. And now, on our YouTube page at PressX2StartTV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. And now, it's time for the Quick Hits.
Hello, everybody. I'm the guy that's going to bring you the Quick Hits. Number one, this comes from VentureBeat. NPD reveals the best-selling games of 2020 in the U.S. And guess what? Oh, this is an ad. Guess what? Number one is Black Ops Cold War. Number two, Modern Warfare. Number three is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Oh my God, send out the fireworks. So amazing. Number four, Mad NFL 2021. 2021. Number five, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Number six, Last of Us Part Two. Being number six is interesting. Actually, I guess because it's exclusive and Madden is Madden and Assassin's Creed is multi-plat. But number seven, right under Last of Us, is Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, where it should be.
All right. So you're trying to attack the defenseless there, Marcus? Because there's some contrarians that participate in this podcast that may think differently.
Well, that contrarian can kick rocks.
So number eight is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number nine is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. And number 10 is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Really?
Ho. What is this list?
This is the best-selling games of 2020.
Let me look at this goddamn list.
Yeah, did you not look at it? number 11.
So, yeah, number 11 is Marvel's Avengers. Number 12 is Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. Number 13.
Interesting that they had that as separate too, seeing it being more.
No, DLC. I was just confused because I was listening to see where Grand Theft Auto is on this list.
Typically,
it finally got knocked out.
Number 14, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. 15, FIFA 2021. 16, Mortal Kombat 11. 17, Dragon Ball Z motherfucking Kakarot. That's the only reason why I had this thing on this list.
Why are you excited? You didn't even beat that game.
But guess what? But guess what? Number 18, MLB The Show 20. And number fucking 19, Cyberpunk 2077. So you know what that means?
So wait.
You know what Gotham isn't on this list.
No. So there's an asterisk, Donald. Don't you Fox News this shit. There's an asterisk saying that it's digital sales not included.
That's a typo, Jordan. It's a typo.
No, it's not. Shut up.
And number 20 is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 plus 2.
Yeah, so the remake.
Wait, I thought 20 was Cyberpunk.
No, 19.
No, 19 was Cyberpunk.
And it was only the physical sales of Cyberpunk.
Yeah, so as Jordan says, Animal Crossing, Mario Kart 8, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Cyberpunk 2077 does not include the digital sales. So, of course, this would probably bump them up higher, especially Animal Crossing. I think that could actually possibly give it the number 2 or 1 place, which is very, as I said during the Game of the Year discussion, Animal Crossing was the game of 2020. It might have not been the game of the year, but it was the game of 2020. And this kind of reflects that. Number 2. This comes from IGN. Mortal Kombat movie. Not Mortal Kombat the movie. Mortal Kombat movie. New details including fatalities.
Yeah, and Steve Harvey being Jax.
Poor guy.
So
see this fatality here, player? I got buttons on my suit. Survey says?
He says, there we go. Let's see fatalities on the board.
So, I'm actually, I don't want to say excited. I'm cautiously overwhelmed by these pictures. They have pictures of the different characters, Sonya Blade. It follows this disgraced MMA fighter who happens to have the Mortal Kombat symbol as a birthmark on their chest. It's like,
didn't know about that.
So, like, they're totally making a different thing. They're not going off of base material. They're, like, doing their own thing with the property.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Are they pulling the M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh, God.
Like what he did with Avatar?
I really hope not.
I thought this was going to be about the rivalry between Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
That's all we want to see, really. That's all we want to see.
Oh, that's whack.
And then have, like, the Jax Special Forces coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
For no reason.
So they have photos of the different characters. And I gotta say, I'm actually really impressed with these photos. Especially Jack's arm. I would like to see that in motion. But that picture looks pretty convincing of, like, that nigga got robot arms.
Yeah.
No, I want to see
look like robot arms.
If his mustache has cybernetics in it.
That's actually how he controls the arms with his mustache.
But if it's a hammer, then he's gonna get Shao Kahn then, right?
Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's a good catch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I thought it was a brick.
Someone's sitting with a brick.
Well, it has rope. The only thing is that the way that he's, like, stopping the hammer looks kind of awkward if it's a hammer.
Probably like punching him with it, maybe.
Yeah,
I thought he was just picking up a brick and breaking it. Like, look how strong I am. Man.
Kano looks terrible.
Yeah, he doesn't have the robot eye. Or maybe it is, but it's just, like, looks human still or whatever. And then we have a picture of Sub-Zero, which is my favorite, so I just want more of that.
I mean, the movie does have fatalities, and they said that the people that are, I think Ed Boon is sort of involved with this movie's creation, so hopefully, you know, it's at least as good as the first Mortal Kombat movie, which is basically Enter the Dragon, but stupid.
The Mortal Kombat 10 and 11, they had some good writing in those games. I just watched Mortal Kombat 11. I didn't play it, but I watched, you know, all the cutscenes. Like, you know, this was an alright story. They had some pretty good moments in the video games, so.
Yeah. I actually think I did the same thing. I think that's where they go in the past, right? Kung Lao and Liu Kang are like...
All three of them are fucking time travel bullshit.
I definitely saw that too. But yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what the actual, like, first trailer looks like when it comes out. Number 3. This comes from Xputer. Japan's most downloaded PS5 game in 2020 is was Demon's Souls.
That's not surprising.
Congratulations. Number 4. Let's go. as Mark said, it's not surprising. Like, Demon's Souls, that's literally their bag. So
it's from software. You know, a lot of Front Software fans in Japan, at least maybe not like count-wise, but rate of PlayStation users may most likely be From Software champions.
I'm an old school From Software fan, and I'm waiting for them to bring back Armored Core. No.
Yeah, so, Armored Core started sucking. Started doing bad.
I'm sorry, what?
I played Armored Core too. I was like, no, this game's trash.
When did you play Armored Core?
Don't worry about it.
Sad one, that's what it is. Anyways, number four, this goes for Polygon. New Pokemon Snap's coming, guys, and I'm fucking excited.
Yeah.
It's also coming from Nintendo Switch on April 30th. I don't gotta say any more else because Pokemon Snap is GOAT. I was gonna say something else. Anyways, yeah, check out the trailer if you haven't because it's awesome and it's adorable and it's cute. Number five, this comes from The Verge. Hogwarts Legacy is delayed until 2022. Fuck. Number six, this comes from RPG. This comes from RPGsite.net. Square Enix trademarks Ever Crisis, The First Soldier, and other Final Fantasy VII names. But what
Ever Crisis is the most Kingdom Hearts ass name.
Yep.
Well, also, Ever Crisis sounds like a DC crossover event too. So it could be either one of those things.
Ever Crisis is the evolution of Crisis Core.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah. The First Soldier, I mean, as far as I know, Sephiroth was the first soldier.
Yeah,
so
right.
That is interesting.
I find it strange that they're trademarking all these at the same time. Oh, and the third thing is they filed a trademark for an in-universe logo of Final Fantasy VII Shinra's Electric Power Company. So
Shinra's actually coming to life, ladies and gentlemen. They already built a Gundam. Now they're going to make real Shinra in Japan.
Let's go.
Everybody hold on to your Mako.
All right. And that's pretty much it for the quick hits.
Yeah, this is the first time the quick hits actually felt like the quick hits.
Yeah, right.
So now moving on to our heavy hitters. And starting out, DJ, what you got?
Oh, it's me again. So, this is more of a, giving a shout out to ourselves. We actually did a Press X to ramble about this. And what this is the Cyberpunk apology video followed by the,
AKA
Schreier.
Watch a European man read off of a teleprompter about how he's so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're sorry.
It's
for lying.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually really get into it. So just to give you the spark notes here, we go through, actually, I should say, thanks to Jordan for doing most of the legwork. We went through the Jason Schreier article on Bloomberg about what
caused...
Shout out
to Jason Schreier.
Yeah, what caused the video game's disastrous rollout. I would suggest you watch that because it's good. And of course, it's good because we did it. And it's also funny because of course it's because we did it. yeah, it's just a load of... It's a load of crap. In terms of the actual apology message itself, I think it was good for them to finally do that versus do the cyberpunk background or the white or the yellow background with the text.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's better that they do something that's more personable. But at the same time, when you actually listen to the content of the message, it doesn't really address the bigger issues in terms of
like the fact that this game was made for PS4 and Xbox One. And so you're acting like that wasn't a thing that we all knew about.
Right.
DJ, we go over that in great detail.
It's just true. We do.
Right. This is true. So go ahead and check out the ramble when it comes out. This week, I'm guessing?
Yes.
So by the time this episode is out, it will be available. So give that a look on our YouTube page or our Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Both those places.
But other quick hit, take it away. heavy hitter, take it away, Jordan.
So if y'all haven't learned about the changes going on in a particular form of video gaming, being Star Wars video games, because the world of Star Wars video games is pretty extensive, essentially. EA is about to be kicking rocks soon in regards to their ownership of the Star Wars video game property. As we all know, EA has exclusive licensing with the NFL, and I believe FIFA. I think FIFA's the same boat.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
But for a time, there was a strong partnership with Microsoft Studios with between EA and Disney. The inception of that partnership was based on my account. Star Wars saw EA as the biggest, you know, kid on the block. They're like, you know what? Let's just give it to them, have them do a couple things. And over the last 2 years, it's easy to say there's been some bumps in the road, both in terms of quality of game, but output overall. They kind of only put out three titles within these last last 3 years.
Yeah.
And started off with the Battlefront franchise. People were fairly underwhelmed with that. Battlefront 2 had the big microtransaction fiasco.
Whole disaster.
But fun thing about Battlefront 2, it improved over the last 2 years. Like, hats off to DICE for truly committing to bring that game up to speed and making a very good experience. This is from personal experience. Very good experience for those who owned it and stuck around, because there's a lot of, you know, free content they've added over the last couple years. And then one of the higher rated Star Wars games to ever come out, Star Wars Fallen Order, being made by Respawn. And also Star Wars Squadrons, which isn't the most highest rated Star Wars game, but it was commendable. And, you know, a lot of Star Wars video gamers appreciate it for what it did, being a proper dogfight Star Wars video games. Yes, DJ.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're going to mention it, but just to note that there was the Star Wars 1313 that never came out.
Yes.
And there was also the...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we saw like one trailer of
Star Wars 1313 was before the partnership with EA.
Actually,
well, Star Wars 1313 was before Disney purchased the Star Wars license. It was a weird development that was even before all that. A lot of people were anxious about its condition, and then basically it became a Respawn property, to which Respawn turned into something very different.
And then there's also the game that Amy Henning was working on. She came from Uncharted. Mm-hmm. And she literally came from Uncharted to EA to work on this Star Wars game, and they canceled the game.
Yep. So what has happened recently, which sparked the interest of many Star Wars video game fans, is the creation of LucasArts Video Game Studios, or whatever they're calling it. Basically, that is something that's a huge callback to where things were before the Disney purchase. LucasArts would contract...
It's Lucasfilms Games.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, Lucasfilms, then LucasArts, would contract out publishers and developers, give them the Star Wars property, and say, hey, have at it. You know, and there are many amazing games that have happened during the 90s, be it Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, if you're an N64 fan, be it Star Wars Rogue Squadron, Knights of the Old Republic... The list goes Empire at War. The list goes on and on in terms of random developers being given the Star Wars property just to do what they want with it. Clearly, Disney had a more rigid approach and probably contracted one of the more notorious publishers to do so without having any true education of who they were. And clearly, Disney, Star Wars, and Lucasfilm Games were not truly satisfied with EA. But this does not mean they're going to stop using EA. This doesn't mean that there's not going to be a Jedi Fallen Order 2 or Battlefront 3. Mm-hmm. They just want to expand it into other developers. And let me just wrap this up. One of them being with Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. going to Bethesda, and another unnamed open world title going to Massive Studios, which is within Ubisoft. So that is what we're seeing, and, you know, probably get some pretty interesting games over the next 5 years before we actually see any of this work come to fruit.
Right. So I would say let's dig into everyone's thoughts on the Indiana Jones game, and then we could talk about the potential of this Massive game. So, who's excited, guys?
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm lifting the raise the roof. Let's go. Star Wars.
I don't know how I feel about it. One, because I feel like we've had four really good Indiana Jones games already. In the name Indiana Jones.
Oh, here we go. I'm about to say,
where was I?
Nathan Drake is my Indiana Jones.
Wow. Yeah. Quick. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But also, when I found out this game was first person, I immediately tuned out.
Well, we don't know if it's first person.
We don't know?
It didn't say first person Indiana Jones games. It was Indiana Jones game being made by a studio that's known for first person work. Because remember, Respawn was Call of Duty for God knows how long. And even going into Apex Legends. So it's not like they're incapable of doing a third person game. We just know for first person work.
Yeah. Well, in all seriousness, though, like, yes, I am already kind of tethered to this idea of, like, Naughty Dog already kind of perfecting the Indiana Jones as a video game formula.
Yeah.
But I also am willing to be drawn in by what this game could be because, you know, Respawn's a good studio and if they can stick the landing with such an iconic character.
Well, it's not Respawn making. It's Machine. Machine Games is making.
Sorry. Machine. Yeah. Machine Games. But if they can stick the landing, then I'm all for it. And, like, you know, I do like a good action-adventure game with a charming main character and whatnot. So.
And who doesn't love killing Nazis? Machine Games loves killing Nazis. Exactly. With the Wolfenstein.
Right, yeah.
If I could punch some Nazis in the face while raiding some tombs, then I'm down with it.
Yeah, a little shocked to say the least when I saw this announcement at first, because as Marcus said, like, we got Uncharted already, so it's it was, for me, it will be interesting to see, because we had a conversation on the Slack and Jordan was like, well, you know, they could separate themselves by making this a first person Indiana Jones game, which would be interesting and would be a way of leveraging what
Machine Games does.
There we go. Yeah, leveraging what Machine Games does and also, you know, making a what Cyberpunk was supposed to be, a first-person perspective story-driven game. But at the same time, like, I can't help but think, all right, well, they're making Indiana Jones game. This is going to be compared to Uncharted. And
if it's third person,
and they have to know that too.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's first person, I it's hard for me to see a world where people look at this game and they don't draw comparisons to Uncharted, because Uncharted is basically just Indiana Jones
and Lara Croft.
Yeah. And Lara Croft too. Yeah. So I look at it and I think, like, why would you guys set yourself up for this? Like,
I mean, like,
because it's Indiana Jones and they will never let that franchise die.
I really hope that Machine Games approached Lucasfilms or whatever with, like, hey, we have an idea and we would really be excited to work, you know, with the Indiana Jones property, versus, like, they call Bethesda and, like, hey, so we got the slate of properties and we know you guys are good at making first person games or X, Y, and Z. So do you guys want something, or you don't want to work with us?
If I were to assume it was Lucasfilms going out to see the proper developer for their properties first, I don't know if it was a solicitation exercise.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm hoping that Lucasfilms didn't approach Machine Games; it was Machine Games approached Lucasfilms.
It might be the former, though. It might be like we have an Indiana Jones property. We got to find a developer for it and a publisher for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will say that I am more open to a new Indiana Jones game more than I am another Indiana Jones movie. Much rather them just explore it in a game world and let Harrison Ford and the whole franchise rest, but they're not going to because they need money, but whatever.
One of my questions is, you know, like, looking at this partnership, looking at who they are using, Bethesda was purchased by Microsoft, and, like, what the timing of production, basically, because there will be a point where every Bethesda game will be a Microsoft Studios game. Like, it will have, like, the Microsoft Game Studios moniker on it because it's using Microsoft resources and all that other shit, at least for legal reasons. And it's like, is this going to be a time exclusive? Like, is it only going to be on Game Pass? Is it only going to be on computer? Like, there's a question of, because they're using Machine Games, is this going to be a multi-platform game? Like that's one of the questions that I'm interested in.
My guess is that this is going to be just an exclusive. Like, I feel like this is so far out that by that time, Microsoft will be operating like, yeah, no, let's get all the people on our consoles and that just makes the most sense. Like, in terms of a like money perspective, I see the whole thing of like, yeah, you know, if we release this on multi-platforms, we can get in more money. But I feel like if this game turns out to be really good too, and they can draw those comparisons to Uncharted, that serves them better to have it as an exclusive.
Well, there's so many formats to access it if it is on Game Pass.
Well, yeah.
Because they're putting Game Pass on smart TVs, they're putting Game Pass on computer, Game Pass is like all like on your phone. Like, there's many mediums for people
in
that don't.
In my fridge.
It could, you know what? I saw someone download Game Pass on their smart fridge, and that shit was wild. But yeah, it's like there's many avenues to get it if it were a Game Pass exclusive.
Right.
But the second universe of this purchase was Ubisoft and Massive Studios. Sorry, not this purchase, but like this partnership with Ubisoft, yeah. Ubisoft and Massive Studios for an open world Star Wars game. And if you don't know who Massive Studios is, they did the Division series, you know, and Snowdrop Engine and that. So I'm fairly excited about that also, seeing what that looks like.
I am more excited for this than the Indiana Jones thing, mm-hmm. only because I feel like there is literally no other comparison you can make with this game. Like, this will be something very new to the industry and very new to fucking gamers. So, like, I would love...
How so?
Because this is going to be a open world Star Wars game. I mean, even if you look at what Division 2 did... Like,
hold up, DJ. Star Wars The Old Republic is an MMORPG, but I get what you're saying, but like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
technically open world.
I was actually going to talk about that as well. Like, I feel like the reason why I think this is going to be new is because I think this will be a open world, I'm just going to say, hack and slash shooter, right?
Yeah.
Because that's basically Star Wars. And I feel like that's different from KOTOR, because KOTOR was very much so RPG.
Turn-based.
And it was turn-based, yeah. And mm-hmm. It never released the consoles, right? Or did it make consoles?
No, right. I mean, like, yeah, no, sorry. The Old Republic, like the 2010, you know, technically mm-hmm. sequel to the Knights of the Old Republic, is only on PC, which is
okay.
terrible.
Yeah.
Nothing is PC, people, but... Like, if DC Online can be on the consoles, there's no reason why fucking that shit can be on consoles.
Exactly.
But the Knights of the Republic were on the original Xbox.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely feel like this will be that, like, killer app if this hits.
Mm-hmm.
And
if it slaps.
Yeah, like, and it's funny because, you know, they don't really have anything to show for it other than the sentence saying that they're working on it. But it is one of those things where it sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a really good idea.
I truly wonder where this takes place, because like a lot of Star Wars is driven by time, you know, in terms of like recent yeah. Star Wars.
And all
Wars.
This is canon too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's yeah. like, is it going to be like is this going to be like, you know, their new High Republic story franchise? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be, you know, post Episode 6, the destruction of the second Death Star, like where Rey, Finn, and Poe and them were? Or is it post Order 66 where the Mandalorian's at? You know, like, it's yeah. the cool thing about the Star Wars universe, there's so many entry points for you to go. And for Disney to just limit themselves with EA and what they were doing, like just that one publisher, handicapped the expression of Star Wars Absolutely. Games. Like, Star Wars games is, you know, a legacy type property in video game history. Like, Star Wars games is varied and wild. There's some shitty ones, don't get me wrong, but yeah. there's a big universe of them.
I could imagine that, like, years ago, Disney was like, all right, well, we have this Marvel property, we need to make games, let's look at different developers, see what we can do. Spider-Man came out, that was a hit. They're like, oh, this is cool. All right, well, let's give the Avengers to Square Enix. They did it. It was okay. I think that was enough information okay. for them. That was enough information for them to be like, we're doing this with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, EA has screwed us a number of times, too many times.
Yeah.
We're doing this for Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm definitely curious to see because, you know, I have open world fatigue. So, you know, I'm not that interested in it from that standpoint. Right. But as sort of a lapsed Star Wars fan, because I've never been a huge fan of the franchise, but like as a nerd, I've just been aware of it and paying attention to it. And then like Mandalorian got me more into Star Wars. And now just like with the way that they're kind of at least seemingly sort of moving past the Skywalker saga stuff and moving into more uncharted territory, I'm kind of like, okay, I can kind of get a little more into Star Wars. And if
they're moving past Skywalker saga, when the last scene of the Mandalorian is Luke Skywalker killing everybody.
I said sort of. It seems like they're kind of, I don't know. Yeah. But
he's like, hey.
I'm curious to see what, I guess, this game, mm-hmm. especially since you said it's going to be canon, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what this game is going to represent for that. Yeah. And kind of just like how the MCU right now is kind of exploring weirder territory and taking bigger risks after going so big with Endgame, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Star Wars also take some more risks and try to explore different territories. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm going to keep my eye on this one.
Yeah.
What's your Midichlorian count?
Oh my gosh.
Everybody can use the Force. I don't have a midichlorian count.
69.
We all embody the Force. We're all informed by the wisps. All right.
Exactly. So you ready to wrap it up, DJ?
Or? I think I am, like a pig in a blanket. I don't know why I had a hard time saying that. Anyways, this has been another episode of Press That Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as you enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps. Every little bit counts. And then after you're done with that, make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, because that counts too.
Yeah, we're still trying to get to that 100 subscribers.
Speaking of subscribers, we are at 290 for our Instagram channel, and we're just 10 people away from 300. So
follow us there.
You know, tell your friends. Bribe them if you have to. But make sure you're 6 feet away.
I mean, we gonna need our UK fam to start following. I mean,
that's also,
you know,
true.
We just we need y'all. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all.
Two plus two is four. Quick maths.
Yeah.
5 + 5 is 10. Big Ben. Right? That's how it is.
And if any of this was too quick and you missed any of it, you can go to our website at pressxnumber2start.com. There you can find all the details and more. And again, please,
yes, sir,
like and subscribe. Until next time, we'll be talking about games, jokes, and more games. Peace.
Uno out.